podcast with Amanda, Shani, and Colleen. This is episode 101, the era of the triple digits. This is season 3, episode 11. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shani.
And welcome to the show, everybody. How is it going? We're recording episode 311 on 9/11.
We are.
Oh.
Yeah. And boy, did I feel it this morning. I had an hour and a half commute to work today.
Oh, wow.
What happened?
So my subway line, which does not run through anywhere downtown or I love your headwear, by the way. Good addition.
Thank you. It was Colleen, sitting here from last week.
I know. Colleen just put on the
roses.
Beautiful roses that she was wearing on our live show for anyone who was participating in that last week. And it's really brightened the whole show. I'm already in a better mood.
My eyes, like,
to tell my really terrible story.
My eyes like lighted up. I was like, oh my God, the headband is here.
Yeah.
So my really terrible commute this morning. So it started off just like any other day. Got to the subway, got on the platform, train showed up. I got on it. It kind of crawled along as it does. It's, you know, it's not a great train. It doesn't go very fast. And then it grinds to a halt. Where I get on, it's above ground, and it's above ground for about like 6 stops or so before it goes like proper subway underground. And at the stop before it goes underground, stops, nothing. And then they're like, everyone needs to get off this train. This train's going back to Coney Island.
What?
So you're still in Brooklyn.
And we're all
at this
like,
point?
Oh, fantastic. Great. And then they make an announcement that, like, due to, you know, 9/11 services or something, you know, trains are running with delays. You know, and they run through this field of all these other trains that you could take if they were anywhere near you, but they're nowhere near you. So why they're suggesting them? A mystery.
Oh, my God.
So, and they're making this announcement, like, it's running with delays, yet the train we were told to get off still hasn't left, still parked there.
So, oh my God. Like,
what does one do? So, what I decided is, and there's a small shuttle train that is also at that stop that, like, takes you over to, like, the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens, and it does connect you to one of these other trains that they're suggesting you take. So myself and maybe half of the contents of the subway platform try and get on this little, like, 3-car shuttle.
Oh, no.
And off we go. I get on the 2 train, which is like not a train I normally take. I usually don't get on that stop. I'm not familiar with it. And that's kind of moving, but like it's way out of the way. It's like all these extra stops. I'm like getting emails like in between stops from work. And just like forever and forever, I finally get to work at like 10:30.
Oh,
and like
no.
Apparently there was nothing on like the MTA app about like train delays, because I was like texting Daniel because he usually leaves work after me, and he's like, I'm like, we are stopped, like we all had to get off the train, like do not take the queue, like find another way to work, like I don't recommend it. And he's like, are you sure? Like I'm looking at the app right now and it says good service. I'm like, well, if you want to chance it, like be my guest. I'm telling you right now, it's not good service. So like, I don't know if maybe there was like some threat or something, and so they weren't sending trains over the bridge, or I'm conspiracy theorying right now. I'm sure everything's fine.
Well, I'm sure they had stuff downtown at the
tower. This train doesn't go downtown.
Maybe it was like a chain reaction, like when there's storms in like Chicago and all the flights in like to Florida are canceled.
But the train I did get on probably gets you closer to definitely gets you closer to downtown than the train I was on.
Weird.
Right? Like, it made no sense. But then it's like, because of that, I feel like I was just like chasing the bus like all day.
Aww,
you know, or you just like, you just, everything has already happened without you, and you're just trying to play catch up. And like,
yeah, you've definitely had a kind of that sort of week, right?
It's been rough. It's like, I'm not even like that valuable of an employee. Like I do good work, but like, I don't feel like I am so important. And yet I feel like I just am doing a lot. And I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse to be like known as someone that like might have the answer to your question. I feel like that happens a lot. So you're just like kind of fielding things, and I've gotten way off topic, but yeah, it was weird. It was a weird day, and I'm so happy to like be here on time with you ladies.
Yeah. That could have gone differently.
Yeah. So cheers. I'm glad to be here today.
I was going to ask you if it's strange to be in New York / a New Yorker on 9/11, and I think the answer is a resounding yes from your story.
I every 9/11 go back to like that weird feeling of, you know, like okay, just the whole thing. Like I don't have a fantastic memory when it comes to like events and stuff, right? But I remember like all of 9/11 pretty clearly, like, and like even now talking about it, like I remember that feeling that you had, like when you found out, like, cause we first found out that it was just a plane that crashed into the Southern Tower or whatever, the Tower 2. And, you know, everybody was like, you know, oh, somebody definitely was, you know, messed up, and you didn't even think terrorism. And then you go, you know, and then we found out that a second one hit, and I remember where it was, and it was in the journalism classroom because I was the editor-in-chief of my newspaper that year. And, you know, my friend Brian and like some of the other staff members, we were trying to watch it on the computers, which had kind of crappy internet. Like up until that point, the biggest use of like the internet that we had was to play the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire game that ABC offered. Come on, you guys remember, right?
Yeah, I do. I don't think I ever played it, but I know what you're talking about.
It was that and Ticketmaster, because I distinctly remember getting Alanis Morissette concert tickets in that same room waiting for like it to load, which actually comes into play for another story that I have for later. Ticketmaster. Nice. But you know, just the whole like chain of events, like my teacher was on the phone with his, because my parents, you know, called, because I had a cell phone, but it was weird because it wasn't my cell phone.
It
was my grandpa's. I've told this story.
Yeah. Great. Good memory, Shandy.
Yeah, good memory.
It's a really good story.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, it was just crazy, like, to be on the phone, and my parents were like, you know, the tower is falling, the first one, and my teacher did not believe me. He was like, there's no way that building fell. And then he called his wife, and his wife had the news on, and she was like, no, the building fell. And, you know, we managed to get, like, a grainy dial-up version of the news streaming. And, you know, it was just crazy. And then I remember going with the principal into the senior cafeteria to tell, like, everybody what happened, and then just going around, like, teachers who had family. Because Long Island, a lot of people you know work in New York City. So I know my Aunt Lois was one of the people that walked across the Brooklyn Bridge because she worked in the financial district. So, you know, you see those images of people walking across. Just hearing, like, friends who had aunts and uncles or parents that, you know, not knowing what was going on. It was just a really weird day. And my parents picked us all up from school kind of early. And then we went home and watched lots of Fox News and, you know, as you do for Long Island. And, but it was the weirdest thing about 9/11 was that feeling afterwards where every single person had like came together and like had this unity where everybody had like a flag on their car or something like that. And I remember the Congress all singing like the, Congress singing God Bless America. Yeah. And that's probably the last time that everybody was all on the same side for something. And that would never happen today.
That lasted like 5 days, didn't it?
Yeah. That would never happen. I don't know. Anyway, I'm sorry. I talked for way too long about this because this was Amanda. How does it feel to be a New Yorker on 9/11?
Well, no. And I think it, you sort of encapsulated it really, really perfectly, actually. I think like any great tragedy, anniversaries are hard. It's like you don't think about it until an anniversary that like I still, you know, they still every 9/11, like the local news takes over at like 8:45, 9 o'clock. They opt out of the national news and they broadcast the ceremony that they do, the reading of the names that they do every year.
Which is lovely. And,
yeah, which is really lovely. But it's like, that's what always makes me really emotional.
Yeah.
And it's like, I have this memory of the first year they did that, the first anniversary. I remember, Colleen, we were in your dorm room watching it. I was in your bed. I took a nap in your bed. And woke up and they were still calling the names.
Oh, I know. It's crazy.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's something that I don't think about. And normally in, you know, what, 17 years in, it's kind of like you get a little tired of like, oh, 9/11, this is where I was.
I know. And I just did that for 5 minutes.
But until the actual day, until the anniversary, and then you're kind of inspired to talk about it. And like hearing your story, it's like it brings back, you know, all of my stories of like I was cutting an assembly on tolerance. And like this weird kid that like, I don't know, I guess he had an open or like, I don't know what he was doing. Like, I don't know how he knew, but he had like, you know, he was standing in line at the cafeteria and like said to my friends and I, it's like a plane just hit the Twin Towers. And it just sounded so weird. And he was so weird. You're just like, yeah, you know, mm-hmm. he's nuts. And then it's, yeah. And it's like, my day was a very similar thing that our school was supposedly for the time very wired and very like internet connected.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get on the internet. Like news was happening so fast and the internet was not what it is now. It like the internet could not keep up with the amount of traffic and the amount, like how quickly the story was changing, that like it just shut the whole thing down. And I remember by the end of the day, we were listening to the BBC because that was the only clear anything we could get in, just because it's like all everything on the internet, like the American news sites were just like frozen.
Well, I was in Montana, which is of course 2 hours behind, so that like sort of changes it. And we in the morning, like, that's why I can't even remember really like what time things actually happened. Cause I remember in first period, I was in Spanish class and my teacher like knew what was going on, but like, I don't think everything had happened yet. I don't know.
2 hours
and
then second in Montana.
Yeah. Mountain Standard Time is 2 hours.
So it was early. Sorry.
So it was like, so when we got to first period, then things had already happened, but people still didn't, again, cause like you weren't connected in the same way. So like, so maybe my Spanish teacher had like been watching the news in the morning. Yeah. And so in first period, we kind of knew because of that. Then we went to second period. And I remember my second period class was my government class. And of course, my teacher was like on fire because that's when we kind of like realized like what exactly was happening. And so then I think like for the rest of the day, we kind of just like watched TV at school. Like it was a very strange day. But in Montana, it's like, I'm sure there were people at my school who had family members in New York, but it's not the common thing. Like we're very far removed.
Right.
So there was like the horrificness of it and the images that we were seeing and the human tragedy part of it. But then that sort of like, you talked about the flags and I remember the flags and having a completely different reaction to it and being like, wow, this like hyped up crazy, like patriotism is maybe not the right answer. And like feeling very uncomfortable with that. And then all of a sudden there was talk about going to war. And like, that was my first march.
I didn't like the
march against the war.
I didn't like the war talk. I'll give you that. But
yeah. Yeah. I remember also I was supposed to go to LA and I did go to LA like a week later. And that was kind of freaking because it was like the plane was supposed to go to LAX and now I'm flying to LAX and like.
Right.
That's weird. But yeah. And then getting to LA and again, especially in LA, seeing like all these cars with like the double flag and you're just like, that's a lot of patriotism, but
double dose.
And I was actually, maybe there was a heightened feeling of that because I had a German exchange student staying with me at that time. So that's like really interesting for her too, that she was in the United States as an exchange student, like during 9/11. And yeah, that was, that was crazy, but we weren't connected in the same way that we are now. So it was certainly not. Now, anytime, you know, something big happens, people immediately know because of like phones and
Right, you get alert to your phone.
And whatnot. But yeah, I mean, to hear you talk about cell phones, like, I didn't have a cell phone yet. No, like, it was not common. It was like a year before it was super common,
yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah, like, I think I had a cell phone at that point, but it stayed in my backpack all day. Mm-hmm. It was literally just to, like, you know, call home for a ride or, like, I don't know.
Right,
I still don't know what
nobody texted back then.
Weird day. I think I will say, like, being, like, so sort of, like, cut off in a way from everything in a place like Montana is definitely something that I feel like I think about 9/11 a lot differently now, having, I don't know, just become an adult and also, like, met people from outside of, you know, my little, like, meeting people who actually, like, you know, lived in the area when it happened. I don't know. It changes things. And I think also just being an adult in general makes you, I don't know. Like,
it definitely does, but there's definitely something for that emotional, emotional, like, capturing of how nice it felt to know that everyone around you was also going through this, you know, huge traumatic experience where even if
I meant it much differently. I meant that, like, when I was a kid when I was like 17 or whatever when it happened, I think because I was separated from it, I think I was more, like, concentrated on sort of like the, oh my god, now, like, we're gonna go to war and more people are gonna die sort of aspect. And I still think that that's, you know, tragic and, you know, perhaps not the best response, but now I think I'm able to more, like, focus on the actual, like, human tragedy of what happened and just, you know, how terrible it was.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on.
I find that interesting. Just the people, sorry. And no, we can move on after this. Just like the whole half of the country that woke up to it, that, like,
yeah,
they weren't there in the immediate. Like, I'm always just fascinated by that experience. Cause it's the polar opposite of, you know, like, how, what you and I experienced.
Jay was in San Diego and they woke up to it. And he says that, there was a lot of, you know, they were on high alert there because there were rumors that the, cause there's a lot of, military.
Oh, there's a military base there.
There's a big base there. Right. So there was a lot of fear that would be a possible site of attack.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I watched the wind chime things that they did for United 93 today.
Yeah.
I got a little emotional, as I do whenever I watch 9/11 things, but I thought that was beautiful.
Really? Yeah. They I saw the piece that they did on CBS Sunday morning, and then they re-aired it in the morning show yesterday. And it's like, it was just this beautiful, because you forget about Flight 93. At least I do. Like, it's not one I really think about, because it's not. When you think about 9/11, you think of the Twin Towers, you think of the Pentagon.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was just what a beautiful way to signify that, like, these people died heroes.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, like, literally their voices are ringing on with these chimes. And it's like, oh,
I know. It's so cool.
Freaking love it.
Okay. I have some happy news. I have two things of happy news.
I love happy news.
Okay. The first thing is Tron is gone.
Right.
Officially. Which is good. That's just in time because we're getting a fucking hurricane. So I'm going to have to try to get
What are you
going to
do now during the hurricane?
Oh, well, I'm not going to go to California. Which sucks. So we were supposed to go to California for the Lost concert, and most likely we're not going. Our flight was canceled, but I'm going to call them and see what else they're offering. But I don't know. We're not going. Let's be honest here. I was like, maybe I can get out Saturday morning, but which kind of sucks. But on the other hand, we wanted to be at home with the house because, as you guys know, we are a hill. Our house is a hill. It's like built into a hill. We have trees that surround us that could fall on us at any point. We have the lake that they drain. So, okay, they went to drain the lake yesterday, like 2 feet down. And then we had rain today and it filled back up.
What about the turtles? You can't drain their home.
The turtles are going to be okay. We're a little worried about the mighty koi because they might, we think our little pond is going to overflow. I mean, it's definitely going to overflow into like the dam or the river. So we're a little bit worried that the fish are going to, like, you know, get swept away someplace. But we think the turtles are going to be okay.
It's like Finding Nemo with your koi fish.
But that movie had a happy ending, so
that's
it's all
very
good.
True.
They're on their way home.
They did. We're not worried about the turtles as much because they'll hunker into the mud, like they'll bury themselves in, and they should be okay. Like, we're slightly worried, but we're also thinking that, like, you know, nature will take over and they should know, like, how to survive. And
nature will find a way.
Nature will find life will find a way. But that kind of sucks because we were going to go see Jay's family and the Lost concert, and we were going to have a double date with Nick and Cliff, who are not dating in real life, guys, but we were going to go to Tao and have
fan
like
fan fiction commence.
Oh yeah, slash fiction.
Slash
Cliff
yes.
and Nick. We were going to go to Tao with them. We made like reservations, and we were going to have like this fancy sushi date beforehand, and Aunt Cindy and Jay's dad Jerry were going to like watch the kids, and you know, we were going to go get fancy with sushi, and I brought my sushi dress that I have cuz I love it, which Jay hates it. I have this outfit that I wear whenever we go to like fancy sushi, and Jay fucking hates it.
Wait, you have a specific outfit?
I do.
I was just hoping that it was like decorated with like little like tuna rolls.
No, it's a romper, but it's like kind of got like oriental patterns almost. But I love it, and I call it my sushi outfit. I wore it when we went to Nobu for our anniversary date in San Diego. I wore it when we had our other anniversary date. I don't know. I wear this whenever we like sushi. I really love it, and Jay hates it, but I don't care. So, like, I had everything all set, but whatever. You can't dwell on it too much because at least we might get like hit by it, like, and it might be pretty bad. But as long as we're all together, we decided that we're if we don't have electricity, because my neighbor was like, prepare to lose power for a really, really, really long time. It's never coming back. So I have to, have this show out by like Thursday so that way I can make sure. Otherwise, it's not coming out till Sunday. So if we still don't have if we lose it and we don't have it on Sunday, we decided that we're going to go to one of the hotels like down the street if the main road isn't like flooded still on Sunday. And we're just going to have to stay in a hotel for a night so we can, like, shower and, you know, be prepared for work and school. And then we'll just, you know, see what happens.
Nice. So, well, do you guys have a generator?
We don't. And we missed the boat for that. So we bought a crank arm.
Yeah, sold out at this point.
Yes. Well, it was ugly. My coworker's husband works at Lowe's, and she said that they had, like, 27 left yesterday, and they went in, like, 2 minutes, and it was, like, really, really like the worst of humanity fighting over it. So when we looked to get one on Amazon, and they couldn't guarantee that they would be here like in time, so we were like, well, is what it is.
Right.
Also,
maybe
a generator.
First hurricane, you'll be fine.
Yeah, also we bought the crank arm radio thing, so we should have that should get us to be able to recharge like our phones and stuff and give us contact with the outside world. So we'll have that. Nice. So our realtor, Tim, the awesome realtor, called the other day and was like to Jay, was like, okay, let's go over everything that you're going to need on your property, you know, based on what I remember about it to get you through this hurricane.
Nice.
Yeah.
That is really sweet.
And honestly, we would have moved up, I think, our flight. Jay didn't want to miss work on Thursday because he's got some stuff going on. But until Tim called, we were both like pretty much in the let's move the flight up and let's just get out and avoid it. And then once Tim called and started talking to Jay about all the things that could probably go wrong, then he was kind of like on team, let's stay here and make sure that we can, you know, be reactive to the house. So anyway, but no, Tim's awesome. Like, we've got sandbags that we've already lined up. We've got bungee cords and ropes and stuff we're going to bring most of the furniture in outside, but like the grill, we're going to like tie it down to the deck. We're going to take the swings in off the swing set, you know, just different stuff like that. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, that wasn't good news. So we got Paul McCartney tickets, and it took 46 minutes. So everyone in my office was trying to get tickets, right? Literally, everyone was there. I had my laptop, my work desktop, and my cell phone, right? My boss had her cell phone and her desktop. My coworker's cell phone. Everyone had cell phone, desktop. I had the third. I was the only one with the third one. Like, we were serious. Like, we also... It was done exactly like Comic-Con, right? To get these tickets, you had to get into the waiting room ahead of time, and then you were randomly assigned a place to get the tickets. And then they kept releasing tickets like with every like wave of people I think that got in. But it was just like Comic-Con, and anybody out there listening that knows what I'm talking about will automatically clutch their like pearls and be like, "Oh my god, I know how stressful you felt because you had no control over it, right?" Yeah, it was insane. But it took 46 minutes from the time that they went on sale to when the last person in my office got tickets. Jay got awesome tickets for us. I ended up getting... So my boss, who wanted to get awesome tickets, ended up with the shittiest tickets of all of us. Because it kept, like, essentially... It got to a point where you couldn't select your seats. It would say, "These tickets are taken. Would you like the next best available?" You just had to keep hitting yes, 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 yes. And I was hitting yes, 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 yes on both my phone and my laptop. My desktop still hadn't gotten in. And it was the same seats they were offering me. So if they're offering me the same seats on both of my devices, then they're offering everybody else the same seats. So at some point, it was just the luck of the draw. You took what you were given, right? My coworker, Stephanie, ended up, and she made out the best out of everyone. She is in the club level, the first row.
Wow.
Yeah. And she wasn't going for those. That was just when she kept hitting like, yes, yes, yes. Like, that was what she ended up with. My boss ended up in the nosebleeds, and she was like, she paid more than $500 for them. She was like, "These are the most expensive nosebleeds I've ever gotten."
Wow.
Yeah. It was wild.
A show you'll be able to move up.
Yeah, but so we all got into the waiting room like an hour, half hour before, and it was, I distinctly remember there was 18 minutes left, and I'm trying to put on this like program, and I was trying to like make myself useful in the time up until they went on sale, and we had 18 minutes left, and I was like, "Hey, blah 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 blah, what do you think that we should do, blah blah blah?" And she was like, "Colleen, we can't have talking until after this is over." And like, we're still 20 minutes out. It was really funny.
It's called multitasking.
Everybody was so nervous. Afterwards, my coworker was like, "I'm still shaking." And like, she shows us her hands and she's like shaking. And I was like, "I know, I'm sweating right now. I'm pretty sure I was like, I think my watch says I've burned about 600 calories over the last like half an hour."
Wait, so everyone in your office got tickets?
Everyone,
of varying levels of
so there's
good.
Five of us in the office. Four of us got tickets that wanted them. One person didn't. So then we made a pact that she'll come in and because it's on Monday. So she's like, "I'll come in on Tuesday. And then when you all come in, I'll leave."
Nice.
Yeah. But
I feel bad though when she didn't get tickets.
No, she didn't want them.
Oh, she didn't want them.
No,
okay.
One of the reasons.
Oh, never mind
then. Sorry. I was thought it was like everyone was trying to get them. And
no,
she was like,
"Oh, one of the reasons I kept going
it.
And my other coworker kept going. We were doing it for her." And then finally she was just like, "I don't want to go." And we were like, "It's Paul McCartney." She's like, "I'm good."
So she doesn't want them. And then she also, in addition, gets a half day. That's cool.
Exactly.
Win-win for everybody.
Win-win for everybody. My other exciting news my third exciting news is Alex cut his first tooth today.
Aww.
Yay.
And this is the first time saying this, like, anywhere.
Aww.
Alex,
I'm worried for your boobs now, though.
It's okay. It's still, it's just through the gum.
Okay.
And
I mean, great for him. Maybe not so great for you.
I don't know. He's got a lot more. It's just the tip of it cut through. So just the tip. So he's got a lot more tooth. He hasn't been like screaming or crying or sick or anything. So I was very surprised to see it today. So we went to get the flu shot. His flu shot, and he was laughing at Zach in the waiting room, and I was like, "What's that black thing on your gum?" And then upon closer inspection, it was the gum was a little bit swollen and the tip of the tooth was sticking through, and it wasn't a black thing, it was a little white thing. So
colors are hard.
But anyway, we did the shots today, and the shots were an adventure. Zach they, when I called yesterday to make the appointment, they didn't have any of the shots. They just had shots for the babies, so it was like 3 and under. And then when I went in today, they asked me, you know, who's getting it, and I said Alex, and she said that this morning they had gotten shots in for the older kids. Did I want to add Zach to it? And I had told Zach that he wasn't getting it today. And Zach needs to be prepped for things. He needs like lots of warning, lots of prep, lots of like ahead of time. And he had 5 minutes. And I was like, it's going to be
that.
Okay.
Totally,
you know, you're just going to do this now. Then we don't have to come back next week. And, you know, it's going to be fine. And I was like, the baby can go first. I was like, do you want to go first? Do you want Alex to go first? He was like, I want Alex to go first. So, you know, Alex goes first. The nurse sticks that big old flu shot needle in him. He looks surprised. He's like, and then he's like, meh. And like doesn't cry at all, doesn't even make a peep, just makes a face like of like surprised, and then like eh, and then he's like, that's it. Okay, so we get to Zach. Zach starts kicking his legs and screaming, get away from me, get away from me. It's so bad that the nurse is like, the nurse has another nurse come in and take Alex out of the room so we can physically restrain Zachary, who is screeching at the top of his lungs so much that the receptionist heard it because she made a comment when we got out of there. And he's, get away from me! Tears, screaming, dripping with sweat all of a sudden, right? Like, just completely the definition of losing your shit. Get away from me! Don't touch me! Don't you dare touch me! Get away from me! You're screaming, right? Like, I can't even do it justice.
Well, then at that point, he's probably so worked up and has so much adrenaline, he probably didn't even feel the goddamn shot.
Well, he did it because she puts the shot, she just goes for it, right? Like, power to her. She clearly does this, you know, for a living. Just go, like, sees her in, goes for it, sticks the needle in, and the only time he's quiet is when the needle is in. And then as soon as she takes it out, he starts screaming again, right? Like, oh, you broke me. You hurt me. Ow. Right? Okay. I mean, meanwhile, Alex is in the hallway with the other nurse, like, gaga, 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 gaga. I have a tooth coming through.
I'm sorry, but... something happening?
Yeah. Okay. It was a hot mess. And then, like, when we're leaving, Zach got the shot in his upper thigh, mind you. He makes the biggest deal out of limping to the car like he's broken his ankle.
Oh, sign that kid up for drama class.
Oh, my God. He needs drama class. And then Jay said that today when he was getting out of the bath, he did the same thing with the limping. And then he, like, shut the light off on him. And then he, like, sprinted up the stairs. And he was like, ah, that's what I thought.
It's like, oh, yeah, it hurts, huh?
But, I mean, now he doesn't have to go back and do it and, like, worry about it for a week, right?
Yeah, he doesn't have to. And as I told him, like, Alex is the one that's screwed because the babies have to get boosters for it. So I take Alex back, I think, in 60 or 90 days or 30 days. I don't know. At some point, I have to take Alex back to get the
I remember even, like, going into my sixth grade year, like, you know, we had to get, like, what was it, like an MMR?
Oh, MMR.
Measles, mumps, rubella.
Yeah.
Before sixth grade, like, the booster or whatever. And I remember, like, in the summer, like, I knew it was coming. And even as, like, a fifth grader going into sixth grade, I was, like, dreading that shit for, like, weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I thought about it quite a lot for weeks. And then you have to finally go, and then it's fine. But, like...
But the thought of it.
Never just like, okay, we're doing it now. And then and then you didn't have to waste that brain power and that emotion on being worried about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The sneak attack sometimes, I think, is better.
Sometimes it is. He'll get that. Just give him, like, 15 more years.
Yeah, we'll see.
Work yourself up into a right lather.
Oh, my God. It was... I wish that they had, like, hidden cameras for every shot and then, like, gave that to you. Like, because that is something I would play at his, like, wedding rehearsal dinner. I mean, it was so bad.
Oh, damn you, HIPAA.
I know. But I'm citing the release for it. Oh my god.
With also like a montage of his reaction afterwards, because the limping really does need to be. I was like, this is your reaction. Like,
oh my god. I should have done the limping, but I should have. It was so funny. I mean, it was so dramatic and so over the top. And he was, you know, limping with his ankle. I was like, that isn't even what would hurt.
He tried.
You know, he's working on his act.
Oh. Got the right area.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, good times. Good times. Does anybody else have anything or do we want to move on? Shandy, you've been kind of quiet.
Have I? I'm trying to think. I mean, it like I have this feeling today of like, oh, we're recording. Yeah, I'm happy. But didn't we just record? I think it was because like the Thursday to Tuesday turnaround feels.
That's what it is. Is there wasn't a whole lot. Everything of mine happened today or Friday, which was the plan or anything in the trunk.
Yeah. Nothing else happened in my life. It was very boring.
Yeah. I did literally nothing.
I was concerned I was going to have nothing to talk about.
Yeah. Have that things women should stop feeling guilty about article, or we could just go to feedback.
Ooh, I could summarize the article.
Okay, go ahead.
Everything.
Everything.
That's it.
Great. Okay, facey back.
All right, there we go. Well done.
Good segment.
I didn't even have to
well
edit
done,
it.
Guys. Good podcasting.
I'm kind of curious to know, but.
All right, well, we can go through it quickish.
Okay.
I'll set a timer. Siri. Set a timer for 6 minutes.
Setting the timer.
Cool. I feel like 6 minutes is an appropriate time to speak about this.
Yeah.
Okay. Essentially, this is exactly what it sounds like. Things, a list of things that women should never feel guilty about. This is for us and all the women out there, and even some of the men. Sure, why not? Just, you know, just do it. Don't make people feel guilty about this. But this is our new era of 100 plus. Things that we're not going to feel. It's like our resolution or what's the, I don't know, whatever. Let's just do this. Okay.
Resolution works in that instance.
Yes.
Self-care. It should almost be a given that you shouldn't feel guilty about taking time for self-care, but there are contrarians out there who may call you selfish or narcissistic for embracing wellness. I've learned, however, that when you take care of yourself, you won't be in the mindset to feel guilty about what other people have to say about you. Plus, taking care of yourself means you'll have enough energy to take care of those around you. I like
very
that.
Very true.
Self-care. Yeah. How you talk. Young women.
Yes. Sorry, I was very enthusiastic.
This might be Shandy's favorite article that we read on here.
It might.
What was that other one that we read? The 5 feel-good rules?
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, those were fun. Anyway, okay, sure. How you talk. Young women, especially those in media, often get targeted with accusations of vocal fry and upspeak. Imagine how much more we'd get done if we accepted how people sound and listened to the actual content of what they're saying.
And also realize that men also have vocal fry and do upspeak. So fuck all y'all.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all don't like me, blow me.
Yeah, vocal fry is literally something you cannot control. It is literally how your vocal cords rub together. That's what she said.
I mean,
literally and figuratively.
I do, like, there are characteristics that are more common in, like, certain age groups, like 40 and under. So then it's like, well, the old people are like, back in my day, we didn't talk like that. And then there are things that, like, a lot of these things do start actually with women and then are adopted by the rest of the culture. But then we still feel like we should criticize the women who were actually the trendsetters. Like, go fuck yourself.
Okay. Saying no. I have a hard time with this. I always feel guilty when I say no to something. As a born and raised people pleaser, I had to learn how to not say yes to everything that people wanted from me. Saying no to things that you don't want to do is empowering since it frees up your time and allows you to focus on what matters to you.
Yeah.
Truth.
Yeah.
Truth.
Number 4, expressing your feelings. Oh, I have never had a problem with that. emotional control can leave you with more inner peace, but it's okay to express strong feelings. There's an ugly stereotype that women who show their frustration or sadness are hysterical or needy. After a bad week, nothing feels more cathartic than a healthy scream or cry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Number 5, the entertainment that you enjoy. As someone who identifies as a feminist, I won't always be consuming harrowing stories about strong, independent women or watching documentaries about social justice. Oh, fun fact, RBG is on the CNN Now app or whatever it is, CNN Go.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to watch that once I'm done with Handmaid's Tale.
Hooray.
Yay. I happen to love romantic comedies and fashion magazines, which are niches in media sometimes deemed as regressive or trivial. It's perfectly fine to love what you love as long as you think critically about what you're consuming.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I also should shout out to the author, Stacey Nguyen, and this was on Pop Sugar. Give credit where credit's due. Not keeping the house clean at all times. I am a compulsive stress cleaner, but after reading Marilynne Robinson's Housekeeping, I believe that society puts unfair pressure on women to be clean and orderly at all times. The eccentric aunt in the novel ultimately rejects all forms of domesticity, including, as the title suggests, housekeeping. While I'll continue to be a chronic stress cleaner, I think it's okay to cut yourself slack when you don't have the time or energy to finish all of your chores.
Yes, and I think that you should also make sure that your partner, if you're partnered with, with anyone, but particularly with a man, should make sure that he does as much, if not more, than what you're doing.
Yes.
Just to make up for a lifetime of,
Yeah. And it's okay to have set chores. Like, you don't have to alternate on the dishes one night. Like, in our house, I do the dishes every night, but Jay does the cat box, and that's, like, way worse.
Yep. Well, it's like Real Simple had like a really interesting article about just that, like the dividing of chores, and that like 50-50 in most couples is just not always possible. And it's about like figuring out what works for your specific couple. And it sort of went into different words. We can cut this part out because I've lost my train of thought. It went into like the different statistics. That's the word of like heterosexual couples versus homosexual couples and like how things, it is just an across the board issue. And it is fascinating.
Yeah.
Right. But I would posit also, like, especially with a heterosexual couple, it's like the woman is also doing probably like all, if not most, of the emotional labor. So, like, that should be factored in. There's just,
right.
like, so many.
Yeah.
And that's why I say that the dude should be doing as much, if not more. Especially right. of the things that you can sort of, like, see. I mean, it would be great if they were cognizant of that as well. But, like, at least the things that you can sort of see. As opposed to, like, the unseen things. But, yeah. And I've definitely seen articles about how you have a higher chance of staying with your partner and having potentially like more sex in the long term.
If both people feel
like as a dude, you pull your fucking
weight. Yeah.
And actually do your fair share of chores. So, hey guys.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think you should need sex as a motivator because any decent human being would want to help their partner, but.
Right. And like that article said the exact same thing that like, that's like the third reason why couples divorce.
Yeah.
Is because they felt as though like the chores weren't being evenly distributed. And like, I think the article sort of landed on like, it doesn't have to be 50-50. It just has to be at a place where both partners feel as though it is equal. So like whatever
equal means for them,
it probably isn't 50-50 exactly, but it's whatever makes you happier and feels.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, equal. It's like, it's sort of like Colleen was saying that Jay does the cat box. Like that takes what, like 15 minutes. So it's not like a time intensive chore, but to you that sucks.
Yes.
So it's like worse more if somebody else does
and
that.
And also
thing,
like I do the laundry, but Jay does all the vacuuming.
Right.
Uh-huh. I can't remember it's the about, last like, time not I vacuumed.
Doing the one that your partner can't stand. It's like, okay, you hate that one. I'll do it. And everyone is happier. Like I don't hate that as much. So I'll just do it.
Yeah.
what did we say we were going to do this in 6 minutes?
Yeah. The timing went off like a minute ago. Okay,
we'll keep going.
All right.
Speed through the next ones. We'll be quiet.
All right. Your body. As a tall woman, I've spent a lot of my life shrinking my body to make myself fit conventional standards of femininity, which has resulted in nearly, God, I read that really fast. And now I had a word that I can't pronounce, so shit. incorrigible.
You can just be like me and just be quiet for a second and like dead air while you
sound it out.
In a nearly incorrigible slouch. Yeah. No matter what your body type, you should be allowed to feel comfortable enough to assert your presence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't feel bad about your career. I've known for most of my life that I wanted to write while writing might be a precarious profession. I heard that they're the enemy of the people. I've realized that it's self-defeating to compare myself to what other people do. They do work that I don't want to do. Everyone deserves respect for their career choices. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Turning down nice people. This is for all the rom-com fans out there where that feel the need to accept affections of all moderately decent romantic suitors. Sometimes you won't feel any chemistry with a nice person, and that's fine. Hopefully they'll be nice enough to take your rejection.
For real.
Yep. Nice person, bad timing. Sometimes it happens.
And if they don't, then they're not that nice.
Right.
Relationships. Your relationship status. Those in relationships get judged for not spending enough time with family and friends. Those who embrace being single get judged for not having a partner. At the end of the day, what matters most is that you spend time with the people that you care about the most. This is a callback to our very first episode. Don't feel guilty about whether or not you want children.
Oh, hey.
Okay. Children can be a sensitive subject for women. Expressing a desire to have children can make you seem uninterested in a career, while not wanting to have children can draw accusations of weakness or selfishness.
I will say I had that again like a week or two ago where I met like my neighbor had a friend over and I met them because we were outside of the building together at the same time, whatever. Yeah. And she was there with her kids and my neighbor has a kid and we're just like making small talk. I don't know this person, but we're talking about how I live next door and like, oh, like, do you have any kids? No, I have two cats. Some sort of comment of like, oh, well, when you have kids, blah, blah, blah. It's like, why? Sorry, that's a bit presumptuous.
Yeah. Next up, your views on marriage. You're damned if you say I do, and you're damned if you say I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Some people get shamed for marrying too young or too old, while others get shamed for not wanting to marry at all. Coming from a traditional family, I've been getting a lot of questions about when, not if, I'll get married as I inch towards my mid-20s.
What?
I know. Most of the time, I shamelessly answer curious relatives with a shrug. Oh, my God.
Oh, girl, give that a decade. Report back and tell me how it feels. God, guys.
Well, my coworker is 36 and she has the same things. She's like, she does the online dating and everything. And she's kind of, has the same complaints. She went on a date with somebody the other day to a coffee place. And in the parking lot, after she spent part of the date telling him other dating apps and websites that he should join, she thought that she was pretty clear about it. They went to the parking lot and she went to like say a friendly goodbye and he grabbed her and he kissed her and he bit her.
Oh no.
Fuck.
Yeah. She was like, I tried to talk myself into, well, it wasn't an unpleasant conversation. Like maybe just enjoy it. She was like, I really couldn't enjoy it. My body language was all awful. I got myself out of it. And then he said to her, do you want to go to the backseat of my car and finish this? And she was
No, I didn't want to start it.
Yeah, and she was like, nope. And she left. Is that crazy? Now I'm cutting this story very short. Because it's not my story to tell, but yeah.
If you have to fully extend your arm to touch her, she does not want to be touched.
Mm-hmm. And
like she gave it a minute. She was like, okay, like maybe I'm just whatever. But then she was like, wait, I'm thinking way too much for this to be something that I really want to do.
Yeah.
But I'm leaving out a lot of the story because it's not my story to tell. But I do know that I know for a fact she would be okay with me telling that part of it because she was just like, it was all sorts of gross. And
That's happened to me before on dates. I totally get it. Mm. Like I was uncomfortable for a week. You just can't shake that feeling of like someone grabbing you and thinking it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ugh, no. I'm so sorry.
No. Sorry, oh, Amanda. God, that poor thing. Your poor friend.
Ugh.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. We're almost done with this. Wearing makeup. essentially don't feel bad for wearing, you know, your perfect shade of red or whatever you want to wear. Like, you do you. Shandy, I know you're going to like this one. Don't feel bad about eating. In social settings, I sometimes restrain myself from eating as much as I want to in order to avoid looking gluttonous. Food, however, should nourish you and make you feel good rather than being a looming source of shame.
I 100% agree with that, but I'm really curious as to why you were immediately like, Shandy will like this one.
Because you've spoken about...
Because you have a freezer full of cheese.
Because you've spoken about this before.
Okay.
That's why.
Freezer cheese, by the way. I don't
know. Oh, it's been eaten.
Well, I figured. That was like, 2 years ago? That was season one.
It's been fondued. Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's been fondued. Yeah. Well, I'll write down freezer cheese as a possible episode title. You've talked about
life
this before.
Life is too short to not enjoy your food.
Exactly.
Your booze, your sleep, and your sex.
I will say that I've also...
And
know
you're
exactly,
working out, too.
I know exactly how she feels, like, with not wanting to, like, look gluttonous. But the thing that cures that is drinking too much, and then you have to eat.
Yeah. And then you're enjoying two of my top five lists.
Yep. Well, and it's a matter of deciding if the calories are worth it.
Yeah.
You know, only... Here you go. Matt, this one's for you. Only put things in your mouth that you enjoy.
Well, and I kind of feel like if you want to eat it and your body wants it and you want it, then it's worth it.
Yep. I always do the like 20 minute rule. If I really want to eat something, like wait 20 minutes. If I still want to eat it, I eat it.
Yeah.
It's not just like a passing moment. It's like, it's a legit desire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is something to be said about, like, also thinking about 20 minutes. Like, if you're eating ravenously, then your body doesn't have time to tell you that it's full. And so you might eat too much. And so, like, maybe that's maybe something to consider. But
four left.
No. Okay.
Knowing your worth. Ask for that raise, guys. That's what this one's telling you to do. The next one, don't feel bad about being frugal. In our Instagram filtered lives, it's tempting to opt for name brands when it comes to clothes, beauty goods, and home supplies. People shouldn't feel cheap or unsophisticated if they make ends meet by buying off-brand products from drugstores, thrift shops, or outlets. To this day, most of my closet consists of hand-me-downs, Target finds, and Goodwill.
Okay. Fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. Brands are basically stupid.
Yeah. I will once in a while for a fancy occasion buy a brand name dress because they do sometimes fit the big butts like me better, but
right. Well, it's all about how it's cut and the quality of it. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a brand name to be of quality.
90% of my current clothing comes from Target and like other things. I freely admit that I shop at the dollar store to get like a lot of things too. So yeah, I'm frugal, and I don't care who knows it.
Mm, those sweet, sweet Costco jeans.
Oh, I love the fucking Costco jeans.
I know you do.
I love that they look so good.
And that's what it should come down to. It doesn't matter if you spend $50 or $5. If you feel like you look freaking hot in that pair of jeans or whatever, then it doesn't matter how much you spent on it or what
I'm
the freaking
I'm not
going
to go as far as saying I look hot. But I look mom
hot. Well, I'm going to say it.
I look mom hot.
I think you look hot in your Costco jeans.
I did experience life through the Plato's Closet, which was awesome. And there's something to be said about like recycling clothing and whatnot. Because where else,
contraire.
Just sum this up. Don't feel bad about making mistakes. Essentially, move forward. Own your wrongs. Move forward by striving to do better. Don't feel bad about not having it all. Instead of leaning in, I find myself wanting to lie down. Most of the time, it gets harder and harder these days to envision myself with a perfect career, healthy retirement account, and Martha Stewart approved home in the immediate future. I've learned that that's okay to embrace the uncertainties of life and to ask for help when I need it. Instead of wanting to have it all, I'm happy with what I have.
Yes.
I'm working on that one.
All that noise.
You got this, Amanda. Take that one to your therapist. I'll screen cap it for you.
They say you're supposed to have double your salary by the time you're 35 in your retirement account.
Fuck that noise.
That stresses me out.
I don't have that.
I don't want to die poor, guys.
I don't know what I have.
I check it more often now.
I mean, I know that I like automatically contribute. I don't know.
Yeah, I do too. Whatevs. But yeah. All right.
I have more than my salary, but I definitely don't have double it.
I don't even know if I have more. I think I do, but okay.
It's only because it really makes me nervous, so okay. I check it.
Last two. Not immediately answering text and calls. That one is a given. I'm not even going to read it. And then the final one is don't feel bad, women. Don't feel bad about standing up for yourself. There have been many times when I've texted my friends if I sounded too mean or reactionary to someone when I simply expressed an opinion. Being able to own your feelings makes you your own person, not shrill or sharp tongue. But I also think that there is something to clarifying more if you feel like your opinion came off wrong. I do that and I don't feel bad about doing that. I just do that because I respect the person that I might have been. If I don't respect them, then I don't. Anyway.
Right. It's just clearing the air. It's like, you know, like you stated your opinion, but like you can still feel bad if you hurt someone's feelings.
Or absolutely. Not even hurt their feelings, just if, because you know how sometimes I go, do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes I don't think that I know what I mean. So I just want to make sure that the other person knows what I mean.
What do you think I'm saying?
Please help me in my own head right now.
That's interesting. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what I said.
All right. Let's move on to the facey back. We're at an hour 5. So cutting out about 5 minutes or about an hour. All right, let's get into, okay.
Picked a bad time to check the feedback. I missed it all.
Yeah. All right. It is time for some feedback. We're going to do some farting in your facey back and all that jazz. JP says, if your beverage spills on you while drinking from this mug, universe? No, that's not universe. That's called user error.
It's called clumsy.
Yeah.
I do it all the time. It's fine.
Mandy says, I'm completely nerding out with Shandy's excitement over the Survivor trivia. My guess also would have been 540.
Good job.
Nice.
She also said that Mr. Mandy and I are both left-handed and both of their daughters are right-handed. Her daughter continues to be the weird child by playing softy like a lefty. So that goes back to our discussion about, Amanda, your parents are righties, right? But you're both lefties?
No. Both my parents are left-handed. I'm left-handed. My brother's right-handed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go. My grandparents, my late paternal grandparents, one was right-handed, one was left-handed. They had 8 kids. 4 were right-handed, 4 were left-handed.
That's crazy.
Yes. One of the grandparents wore glasses. The other one did not. 4 of their kids wore glasses.
Holy crap.
Yes.
That is amazing. Let's keep going. How many other things?
Yeah. Were 4 of them?
Were there 4 boys and 4 girls? Let me think about this.
4 of them had their earlobes attached and 4 of them didn't.
4 of them are redheads and 4 of them are brunettes.
None of them are redheads.
Ooh.
I know, but they carry the gene.
Yes, yeah. Clearly.
Well, obviously, yes. Yes, they used to, that's funny because they, I don't know if this happened in your family, Amanda, but in my family, I remember growing up, they used to always argue like who it came from. And like, hey, this is hashtag team science. It has to come from both.
Yep.
That's, yes.
So, yeah.
Janice has an update about her kitty cat. She said she's sorry that she made you sad, Shandy, with her call. Her girl is still going strong. She recently started having trouble digesting her hard food, which made me start thinking more about how old she is getting. She's eaten the same food for her whole life, and I hardly ever feed her people food. I'm sure that your two kitties will live long lives, and I love the pictures that you share.
Yes.
They are very cute girls.
Yes, they are. I agree.
Moving on to feedback from the 100th episode, Jamie Joe says, very fun. Thank you, ladies. And then Kayla says, woo, just got home and got my mug. So my mug was supposed to be here. It updated the day after we recorded to be here on the 8th. And guess what? It's the motherfucking 11th. Don't know if you guys have gotten that or not, heard that yet. And it's still not here.
Oh, my God. I hope it comes before the hurricane.
I know. Anyway, Janet, when I edit, I realize that we have a Janice, a Jana, and a Janet, and they all sound like Jana in when I say it. And I'm really sorry, guys. I don't mean
that. Teaser heard. It's okay.
Like, whenever, like, when I'm reading them, like, as the names. They just, apparently, in my accent, sound like the same. So, Janet says, I know you're a busy woman, but I'm curious what you're currently reading or desire to read. I just picked up these three books this past weekend for light reading. One of them is The List. The next one is
House of Trump, House of Putin.
Third one is
The Road to Unfreedom.
The Road to Unfreedom. Yes. Thank you.
Russia, Europe, America.
Russia, Europe, America. So, you know, just some light reading.
Casual.
Yeah. I might have committed some light treason.
I mentioned this probably a few weeks ago, and I'm still reading it because I got distracted in between, but I'm reading Alice Walker's Possessing the Secret of Joy.
Yes.
And it's wonderful, and I highly recommend it. And you should also read The Color Purple and The Temple of My Familiar if you haven't, because they're all sort of related. They're not like sequels, but there are characters that you find that are characters, more or less main characters or secondary characters, that will then be a main character in the other one. So they're connected in that sort of way. And she's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. I've read The Color Purple. When you said that, I didn't realize that like the other books interplay it. So it's I need to add them to my ever growing list of female literature.
Yes.
Which I'm super pumped about. But yeah, no, I love this. I actually, last night, I just finished I'll Be Gone in the Dark, and I loved it. And so I'm currently in between books. But I am planning to take the Dear Madam President, our lovely gift, with me when I go to Stockholm at the end of the month, because it's such a short book. I don't want to like start it beforehand.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like, and maybe I'll finish the Alexander Hamilton book in that time.
But it's the year of the woman.
I know, it's the year of the woman, but I don't like to leave things unfinished.
Yeah, but
so maybe this is a good time to just like finish that, and then it's all ladies for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, this is grandfathered in because she did start it 2 years ago. So
that's
pretty much. Pretty much. I think we're around in like month 18 on this.
And
book.
He's big, like, you know, an ally plus, so it's okay.
No, that's true. I would say though, if you need a different recommendation, if that's not what you end up doing, a book of poetry. That's what I got distracted with the Alice Walker. But like, you know, like that's so fast. It's like in a day you can be done.
That's true.
So I am in the middle of my first ever graphic novels, which Jay has been very, a big fan and like, recommending this to me. It's called Saga. It's written by Brian K. Vaughan from Lost and illustrated by Fiona Staples. It's awesome. Like, it's really, really good. It's very feminist. It's very, I don't know the right word. I don't want to say like woke, but like you guys would really like it. Like, it's very much like on our speed. The series, the first scene of the first episode of the comic or book, I'm sorry, I don't know what they're called, but like the first scene of the first book or chapter, whatever, is a woman giving birth and like breastfeeding, like while like, you know, then going on the run and like shooting bad guys. Like it's super like badass.
Cool.
I read pretty slowly and I also do a million things at once. So Jay read them all in like 2 days. I'm on like, you know, my month in, but I'm trying. And when we have no electricity this upcoming weekend for the hurricane, I'm hoping to finish it. But it's nice. It's really good. And I have a feeling that we're going to get some feedback on it, because I'm pretty sure that most of you guys listening out there, or some of you guys listening out there, has, you know, read the series. But yeah, that's what I'm trying to get through right now. And I'm really enjoying it.
Awesome. Sounds great.
Yeah, it really is great. Saga. We're talking about Saga. Jay just gave an orgasm. Jay just gave an orgasm
an
face.
Orgasm.
Yeah. Well, that was nice of him.
Yes. Yeah, he really loved it. anyway, all right. Moving on. Dennis wants to know, did the Broads all ever finish watching My So-Called Life? You were planning on watching it and then talking about it. No, we didn't, because, again, that's
didn't
me. I'm the worst.
It?
We started it a year ago.
To be fair, I have not finished my rewatch. because I was going to like rewatch it at the same time that you were watching it, and I didn't finish that either. So like, seen it a couple of times, but I didn't finish the rewatch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just still have to do the first time. I had a baby. It got tough. I realized I had a baby 6 months after we started watching it. So there was that. But I was pregnant those 6 months. Yeah, I'm the worst is what it comes down to. You know what? Honestly, Dennis, let's have a talk here. So the reason that I haven't, honestly, the reason that I haven't finished my so-called life or saga or really anything in my life is because I spend too much time in the PO group.
I 100% believe that.
That's fair.
Like a really like time-intensive activity.
It's 100% true. So,
yeah. I think my main question though about this is Dennis a fan?
I think he probably watched it and then we never talked about it. And he was like,
he was like, I just watched 19 episodes of like a teen show.
Well, they hold up. They really do. I remember because I have the box set and I haven't watched it in years, but it holds up.
It's really wonderful and special and great.
I ever tell you guys that I wrote a letter to ABC when they were canceling it?
You did tell us that.
Okay, then we can cut this part out and I won't tell it again.
No, it's okay. You can tell it again.
I wrote a letter to ABC when they were canceling it and told them that they shouldn't do that. But it was on like the old DOS system, you know, where you like had the header at the top and you could put your clip art picture.
Oh my God. Did you print it out on the paper where you had to like pull the sides off?
Pull the sides off. Yeah. And then you make the little chains out of them. Yeah.
Fucking amazing.
I think I just titled it like Dear ABC Executives.
To whom it may concern. ABC
Executives, because I probably didn't know what executives were. It was just like, Dear people ABC? In charge at ABC.
Yeah. Amazing. JP wants to know about leaving 5-star reviews. Yeah. Please leave us a review. That'd be awesome. We haven't had a review in a really long time. So, as Jay says, if you like what we do, leave us a review. You can do so by, I think, just like if you're on the podcast app on your iPhone right now, you can just like scroll down and there's an option to leave a star. So if you would
five stars.
Yeah.
Five is preferable. leave five.
Leave a star or five. And by that, I mean leave five. Don't leave
that doesn't help us. If you're going to leave a star, just don't bother. Go do something else.
Yeah. And
go
even
read
better,
a book by a female author.
Yes. Yep. Please. And even better, you know, tell your friends about us. They don't have to listen. They just have to subscribe and download every week. We don't care.
Throw us a couple stars on iTunes. It's really all we need.
Yeah. Whatevs. I mean,
download, like us. That's all.
Speaking of other things that we've talked about, the month of Broads Giving. So Broads give us a 5-star review. Jessica Thanks. Wants to know if we've all watched RBG. I'm the only one I think that hasn't watched it yet, but it's on the CNN thing. So as soon as I'm done with Handmaid's Tale, which we'll talk about in the end.
Oh my God.
Yeah. As soon as we're done with that, I'm watching RBG because I really want to see it. But she does say she wants to be Ruth when I want to be Ruth when I grow up. So do we all.
Yep.
Yep. That's life goals.
Yes. Yep. John wanted any advice for potty training a boy who is having a lot of poop accidents. Well, if you've heard any of my stories for the last year and a half, I clearly don't know what I'm doing. Definitely get the cheap toddler underwear. We do Walmart and Amazon. Just don't get the ones with the characters. If you just get like the 10 pack with, you know, like the generic, like solid colors and stripes or whatever, it makes it a lot easier when you eventually have to like throw out it. I'll just say that. What Jay did, which was awesome with Zach, was to get him on a schedule of like, cause Zach is a pooper. Alex poops once a day when he wakes up. Zach poops like a thousand times a day. Jake did this great idea to train Zach, just go twice a day. So that helped a lot too, where we could like anticipate it. Like, do you have to go? Usually have to go this time of day. Like,
He likes to know in advance.
Yeah, yeah.
He just needs to be prepared.
He just does. he really needs to be prepared. The other thing is with Zach, even now, we do something called the No Pants Party. And we have him walk around without anything on. And then he knows when he has to go to the bathroom and he runs in and does it. So, and that has helped a lot. It took a little while, but like that has helped a lot. And then finally, we finish up with some Matt's What She Said. My champagne boy was supposed to come in here and pop. there's not really any time to get some. That's actually me. It was like 6 or 7 times. Not even kidding. He cleaned off the toys. Within a half hour, he got us both down in a stable place and then went out and cleaned it up.
What were we talking about?
Next one is, I'm okay with trimming it. I did it all week, took a break for the weekend because I was out of town, but now I'm back at it. The next one is, we'll do Andy first this time. you're lucky that I gave you 5 minutes notice. Hey, you want to jump on? thanks for listening in the other room for 100 episodes. That was to Jay. That's so hard. Oh my God, that's a classic. That's what she said.
That is a classic. Oh man, I almost said that's what she said, just as like a Pavlovian response.
Oh my God. I can't believe someone wants to go through this with us, this big experience in their life with us. I'm putting things in your mouth. And then always. Thank you for participating. All right, let's finish this up. We've got a couple of we have 2 voicemails and an Andy email, and then we are going to go home. So let's start with the first voicemail, which is from JP from NJ.
Hey, ladies, it's JP from New Jersey. I just wanted to call in with a question, but before I get to it, Colleen, one thing I need to mention, the voicemail greeting, you need to update it. So that it includes Matt, Colleen, Amanda, and Shandy. Anyway, my question is this, and this might be like more for like an Andy while he's dating. You know, I'm going through a lot of first dates right now too. And my question is, when I go on a first date, I typically... Well, you know, I like to do like the dinner and drinks, maybe dinner and an appetizer or something like that. And I'm usually the one that says, hey, let's meet up. So first date, when the check comes, I always grab for my wallet and I always anticipate paying for the full bill. And you know, maybe half of the time, the date will also say, you know, do you want to split? And I've never said yes to that. So my question to you 3, or 4, if Matt is there, you know, I need, you know, women's opinion on this, is when she does grab for her, you know, her wallet and says, let's split it, if I were to ever say, oh, are you sure? Okay. Am I doing something wrong? Or should I just continue doing what I'm doing, which is pretty much always paying for the check? And I do that even if I know this is somebody who, you know, I like, but probably, you know, no chemistry. There probably won't even, you know, be a second date. I just, I don't know. It was always my upbringing to just, you know, I was the one that invited her out. Let me pay the bill. Love to hear what you guys think. Congratulations on number 101. And rest in peace, Tron.
Dude, first of all, Tron is actually resting in an awesome spot. The person that bought her, the owner... Yeah,
it's a her, huh?
It's a her. It was the owner of a barcade in Fayetteville. And they,
oh, cool. Oh,
the nice. Dude has given Jay, like, the... If he ever wants to come, he can play her for free for life. And...
Oh, that's nice.
Sent Jay pictures, and she looks, like, really awesome in there.
Nice. Barcades are fun. There's two in New York, and I don't even like video games, and I think they're super fun.
Barcades are the fucking best.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so JP.
Yeah, JP.
I don't have an issue with the, like, if she offers, like, if she's a girl that offers and then is offended when you take her up on it, like, that's probably just not a person that, like, you want to go on a date with. Like, I think if a woman offers, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with taking her up on it and splitting it.
I think the instinct to, like, regardless of gender, whoever invites, pays, like, as sort of, like, the rule is good. But, like, yeah, you said, if somebody offers then to split, why not?
Right, right.
I think it's also fine if you're still like, no, it's my treat. Basically, you can't go wrong.
Nice.
Right, right. I agree. Let me rephrase that. That, yeah, I would agree that whoever is the person that did the asking out should plan on paying. But if the mm-hmm. other person offers to split, I don't think there's anything wrong with that either.
No, it just means they're trying to be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's just trying to be, it's just like a nice fest. You're just like throwing nice at each other.
Yeah.
So it's all good. And like, you could still say, like, there's that, you know, weird thing of like, oh no. And then you like sort of insist, but if the other person like really insists that they really do kind of want to split it, then maybe there's a reason that they feel more comfortable, that, you know, just mm-hmm. like kind of whatever.
Yep.
My uncle tells a story about a date that he went on once where they went on a couple of dates. So the first date, like the first couple of dates went fine. And then after a couple of days, she started ordering like an extra meal, and she was like, oh, I'm going to take it home for my son, because she had a son. And essentially, like, the woman just wanted to like take home extra food and have my uncle pay for it because he was really nice. And don't do that, JP. Just, you know, because you know why? Things that you should stop feeling guilty about is standing up for yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Well, it's, yeah.
You haven't been asked to do any of that. And that's my point here. not to shit talk any of the women that my uncle dated briefly, but is, you know, you're just being a nice person and you're not being taken. It doesn't seem from your phone call that you're being taken advantage of. So,
yeah. Right. Because it is very flattering to have someone offer to treat you. Like, it doesn't matter if it's a date or a friend. Like, even like if I'm out for like drinks with a friend and they're like, no, no, like, let me pay for this. Like, it is a sign of like endearment, whether it's romantic or not.
Exactly. All right. We have another email from Maggie. I'm sorry. Another voicemail from Maggie. Yay. We love Maggie voicemails. So let's say hi, hi. I know, I'm really funny, right?
Hey, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. Happy 101st episode. Yay!
Oh, sorry. Let me interrupt this real quick and say happy Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to JP, because I meant to say that during your phone call and forgot. And then Maggie said happy, and I was like, oh, yeah, happy. So, yay. Happy Jewish holidays. Okay. Sorry. Maggie, let me start you again. Okay, cool. Hashtag the worst and the best.
No, that's very sweet.
Hey, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. Happy 101st episode. Yay! I'm so sorry. I missed last week's 100th episode. I meant to send in feedback, but it was my student's first week of school, and it was really, really busy. I think I was in bed by like 9 o'clock on Thursday before you guys even started recording. That's how busy it was. So, but I'm listening to the episode now and so excited. And just, yay for 100 episodes. And I want, everybody's like, they want 100 more. I want hundreds more. I'm putting an S on that. I want to be doing like 500 in like a few years, okay? So I want hundreds more. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to challenge you ladies to that.
We'll do our best.
Shandy, yay for your meditation and yoga. It's really hard to get it daily. Daily going, but I'm doing a daily yoga thing, which is really awesome. I'm really liking it. It's only like 10 minutes, but I'm having trouble finding videos that are only 10 minutes a day. I have a movie that people should go see. I don't know if anybody has seen it, but Crazy Rich Asians.
Fucking loved it.
It is really good. I mean, it is a little bit sappy, romantic a little bit, but it's just kind of about a culture and a world that I haven't been exposed to very much. It was really a good movie, I thought. It's actually a book series. I'm thinking about trying to read that. And that's it. So happy 100th and first episode again, and I hope everybody stays dry and safe during the hurricane. Hopefully, Colleen, you can make it to L.A. And I, part of me wants it to come up here a little bit because then I get a day off work and could slow my life down, and part of me doesn't. So we'll see, but everybody stay safe in the crazy hurricane. So I will talk to you ladies later. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Hey, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. Oh,
okay, there you go.
So nice. Let's listen to it twice.
I didn't stop it enough time. So I repeated. Crazy Rich Asians was awesome. I loved it. I totally recommend it to anybody that wants to see it.
Cool. But, nice.
Yeah.
Going to bed early.
Going to bed.
I'm there for you.
So, yeah. That was like kind of a Pavlovian response. You like yawned a little.
It's like a little bit past 8 o'clock here, so I'm rolling up on that 9 o'clock. Yeah, get you. Cool. Which I realize is not late to normal people whatsoever. Yeah. So I say that with I say that jokingly.
But yeah. I feel like you also get up very early.
Get up at 6:15.
It's pretty early.
It's pretty early.
It all balances out.
I am so good. I want to kill them when they wake
them
up.
Them 8 hours, you know, you're good.
Anyway, yeah, Crazy Rich Asians, I totally recommend it as well. It's really fun. I do want to read the books too, but you know, I got a whole lot of other things I got to get through.
So, yes, they're prioritized.
Yeah, see 15 minutes ago. But yeah, thanks, Maggie. It's always a very, very happy day when we get to hear from you. I love your voicemails. Yay!
Yay!
And then we will finish us out with a This Week in Andy's Virginity and call it a night.
All right. So Andy writes in, hey, broads. Sorry for not getting this in sooner, which is something I won't say when I lose my virginity.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Well played.
But here's an update. Another slow week. I've been texting with Alice and we're planning on meeting up Saturday morning for coffee. So hopefully I'll have a good night you on for next time. Also, is there a term for a platonic date like this?
Yes, it's called
probably,
coffee date.
But I can't think of one. I would say that's called hanging out with a friend.
Yeah.
Yep.
And while I'm a fan of How I Met Your Mother, the show I was watching when I sent the message was The Good Place, which I've heard is good. I haven't watched.
Yeah. No, I've heard it's very good. Same.
They had a big presence at Comic-Con this year.
Oh, cool. Not much else to say. I'm feeling good about switching up my strategy. It makes sense to go for a friendship because a good romantic relationship is ultimately a friendship at its core.
Aww.
While I'm still hoping for a romance with Alice, maybe that's not in the cards, and instead this will lead me to something I never expected. We'll have to wait and see. I still want to know Alice better and won't be crying FZ. If it stays platonic, thank you for not saying the unmentionable. Hashtag I'm with hers, Andy.
What is the unmentionable? Right. I feel real dumb.
Dumb zone. Oh,
zone.
I am real dumb.
No, I just didn't know how to properly convey like the F.
No, everybody did a great job.
Z slash. The FZ.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody did a great job.
Yeah. Yes, the unmentionable. Thank you, Andy. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
I think the term for that date is just a coffee date. Like, we all do it.
Yeah, you're just hanging out. With, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for the update, Andy.
Good.
We can't wait. Let us know what happens next week. Dun-dun-dun. Thank you, Andy, though, again. all right.
We are oddly subdued. We made it to 100 and now we're
I know. We made it to 101 and we're
lean back, smoking our cigars.
Yeah. So, Amanda, we've both been watching The Great British Bake Off.
Yes. What season are you on?
So, we started with season 4 and we're still in the middle of it. We only started it the other night. It's awesome.
So, you're still with the original cast.
No, we're in season 4. Is that the original cast?
No, season 5 is when this newest season on Netflix is season, what they're calling season 5.
Okay,
which
did
is
you
not
start
actually season
with
5.
An old lady named Flo.
Oh my God, Flo.
Okay, so you did. Flo is awesome, right?
Flo is the only reason why I kept watching, because I was very upset to lose Mary Berry. I was very upset to lose Mel and Sue. I don't know who these new people are. The new hosts, not fans. But Flo kept me watching.
Well, she was a contestant for me. Are you talking
about? She was a contestant. Okay. Yeah, Flo is a contestant.
Wait, there's new people, so it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. So wait, the season you're watching, and I was
with the Russian girl named Julia?
Yes. So what you're watching, and I was sort of telling Shandy about this when you took the pee break.
Paul Hollywood?
Paul Hollywood has always been on the show, but Prue is a new addition as judge. She replaced Mary Berry.
Okay.
So when the show moved from the BBC to Channel 4 and Netflix, so like this new season, Netflix is like a co-producer on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I knew that.
So Mary Berry and the original two hosts, who were named Mel and Sue, they all had contracts with the BBC. And so when the show moved over, they chose not to part ways, like not to break their contract with the BBC. So they stayed there. Paul Hollywood is like, see y'all later. I'm going to stay with the show. And they cast all new like hosts and the second judge. But otherwise, okay. The format is the same. So if you've been watching for a while, it was like, and I didn't realize because PBS is currently, well, aired over the summer, the last season with Mary Berry and the old hosts, and they called it season 5. So it was like, I was expecting to see that. And so when I put on the first episode, I'm like, who the hell are these guys? Like, who are these people?
Okay. So I started with like, if somebody replaced Jeff Probst, and I'm like,
exactly.
Cool.
That's about at the level that we're at here. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Very interesting.
So go back and watch the first season once you're done with this one. And I'd love to hear your thoughts having watched this season first.
We love this show in general. Like, everybody's so nice to each other. Like, it's fun. We want to eat all of the food when we're done watching it. We love this. We love it so far. And apparently we are not even in like the best of the best. So
I don't think so.
Oh my God. Cool. Okay. Can't wait. But yeah. So,
how many episodes have you watched yet this season?
I think we're through 6.
Okay, so then I won't go into my spiel, watch it. And then we'll discuss, after you've seen it. I don't want to taint it.
Yeah, we've been trying to. I've been trying to watch Handmaid's Tale too at the same time since we discovered this. So, so let's announce this now. Next week, the plan is, as long as I have electricity and Wi-Fi, which I might be in a hotel, so this might be a very different experience. But and it might sound differently because I won't have all this. If for some reason we lose power, and according to my neighbor, we're going to lose power for like all of the days.
Forever.
It might be a little bit weird, the schedule next week, but hopefully, you know, we'll at the very least like have some sort of wireless wherever I am, and it might be a hotel, and who knows. But the plan is to do our Handmaid's Tale season 2 episode next week. We know that not everybody watches Handmaid's Tale, but go watch it and then re-listen because, you know, May Day, bitches. Please send us your feedback for season 2 of Handmaid's Tale because we have a lot of things that we would love to discuss about it, and we definitely need feedback on it. You know, as you know, Broadcasters 3 at listeners.com. Broadcasters3@gmail.com or 331-276-2373. I think at this point I'm midway through. Amanda's almost all the way through. Shandy, I don't know how far you are. I think you're also around the same point as I am.
I finished episode 7 last night. Oh my fucking God.
Okay.
And I'm about to go watch episode 8.
I just finished 6.
I think I'm at 7.
Oh. Okay. 7 was like, wait, was it 7? No, 6 was
6,
like,
no! 6 had a big.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to say I was going to go to bed last night after episode 6. That was my plan. You guys know how I am about my bedtime. I finished episode 6 and was like, fuck, I have to watch one more.
Yeah. See, I thought that, okay, right, right. Because I think I know the moment you're talking about. And I, yeah, the numbers are all confused, jumbled in my head.
Yeah.
But there's a clear move from like,
oh, man,
one form of storytelling into another sort of direction that they take the story. And I thought that was very cool. And I'm so excited to talk about it.
Okay. We're gonna all watch this by next week. By God, we are. It's going to happen. So please send us your feedback for that. If you don't watch Handmaid's Tale, then just, you know, save it for when you do. And if not, still give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Thank you to the patrons, as always. If you want to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/jandjack and click on, you know, that and, you know, do all the fun things. A special thank you to some patrons that contribute at a special level, and that would be Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Rigner, Ed the Creepy Mailman, and Maggie the Magnificent, and Joanne with a Plan. Thank you guys so very much. We really do appreciate it. If you want to shop through the Amazon affiliates link, you can go to jandjack.com/Amazon or make that your homepage for Amazon, so that's all you ever shop through. If you would like to order a special broadcast mug or anything else, you can go to jandjack.com/store, or if you go to teespring.com and type in Jane Jack, I'm sure it'll show up as well. Please check that out. Have I gotten everything? I think I did.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, cool. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, as always, as we welcome the 3-digit era, in which we don't feel sorry about everything, a.k.a. the no fucks given era.
I like it.
Yeah, me too.
No, cool.
Yep, 3 digits, 3 broads. I like it.
Ooh, 3 digits, 3 broads. Love it too. Thanks, guys, again. And I guess on that note, guys, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.